The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 21, Text Number 24, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 18th, 2010, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, text number 24. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Navai jatu mrishai vasyat. Prajajaksha madarkanam. Correction. Prajajaksha madarhanam. Bhavad videshu atitaram mai sangri bhatatmanam navai jatu mritshai vishat prajajaksham madarhanam Bhavad videshu atitaram mai sangri bhatatmanam. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord continued, my dear Rishi, O Lord, or rather, O leader of the living entities, for those who serve me in devotion by worshipping me, especially persons like you who have given up everything unto me, there is never any question of frustration. Purport. Even if he has some desires, one engaged in the service of the Lord is never frustrated. Those engaged in his service are called Sakama and Akama. Those who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with desires for material enjoyment are called Sakama. And those devotees who have no material desires or sense gratification, but serve the Lord out of spontaneous love for him, are called Akama. Sakama devotees are divided into four classes. Those in distress, those in need of money, the inquisitive, and the wise. Someone worships the Supreme Lord because of bodily or mental distress. Someone else worships the Supreme Lord because he is in need of money. Someone else worships the Lord out of inquisitiveness, to know him as he is. And someone wants to know the Lord as a philosopher can know him by the research work of his wisdom. There is no frustration for any of these four classes of men. Each is endowed with the desired result of his worship.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaivam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakand Vitamscha.
So, Krishna is described here as the one who fulfills desires. And it's stated that even those who come and who want relief from distress, who want money, who are curious or who are seeking wisdom, all of them become satisfied with the Lord.
И се описва, че всички тези четири групи, които се обръщат към Бога с различен мотив, тези, които страдат, които имат нужда от пари, които са любознателни, които търсят мъдрост, всичките получават удовлетворение на своите желания.
So one may think, well, if I can get money by Krishna consciousness, it's very good.
Човек може си мисли, ако аз мога да получа пари чрез практикуване на Кришна съзнание, това е много добре.
Or if I can cure my disease by Krishna consciousness, that's very good. So there is some scope for such persons stated in this verse. So why do we not stress that then in our preaching that would attract so many people?
Наблягаме на това, когато проповядаме. Това би привлекло много хора.
Come and chant Hare Krishna and you become millionaire, you see.
Елате и възпявайте Hare Krishna и ще станете милионер.
We become very popular.
Тогава ще станете много популярни ще бъдем.
Why are we not preaching that way? We get so much a big movement, you see.
Защо не проповядаме това? Движението ще да нарасне неимоверно.
If you're sick, come and chant Hare Krishna, you get healing.
Ако дойдете и възпявате Хари Кришна, ще се излекувате.
Why are we not preaching this way?
Защо не проповядаме?
Because what is the good of getting money or getting cured?
Защото каква е ползата от това да спечелиш пари и да се излекуваш?
If you're not Krishna conscious, you don't have pure bhakti.
Ако не си Кришна осъзнат, нямаш чиста преданост.
It's actually stated that it's an offense to chant Hare Krishna for material gain. That's one of the nama parads.
Всъщност една от оскърбленията към святото име е да се смята мантруването за плодоносна дейност.
So even though material gain comes, you see, that should not be the purpose of one's chanting.
И въпреки че тази материална полза наистина я има, това не трябва да е целта на мантруването.
Wherever there is Narayan, Lakshmi will naturally be there.
Винаги когато го има на Нараяна, Лакшми по естествен начин ще бъде там с него.
Because she's always massaging Lord Narayan's lotus feet.
Защото тя винаги масажира лотосовите нозе на Бог Нараяна.
So if you're purely absorbed in Krishna bhakti, then everything will be there automatically.
Ако човек е напълно погълнат в Кришна бхакти, няма да му липсва нищо, всичко ще е автоматично за него.
Money, good health, reputation, everything you need will be there.
Пари, добро здраве, репутация, всичко ще
So then one may ask, then why is it sometimes said that Krishna takes away all your material facilities?
Някой може да каже, защо тогава се казва понякога, че Кришна отнема всички материални удобства понякога?
Is this a contradiction?
Дали това е някакво противоречие?
Here we're reading that Krishna gives the desires of the Sakama devotees.
Тук четем, че Кришна удовлетворява желанията на Сакама предано отдадените.
And we also hear that he takes away all one's material facilities.
На друго място чуваме, че той отнема всички материални удобства.
So how does this principle, how does this work?
One may ask. Човек може да попита.
Well, the way it really works is Krishna gives you whatever is favorable for your Krishna consciousness.
Истината е, това работи по този начин. Кришна дава всичко, което е благоприятно за нашето Кришна съзнание.
If having your material desires fulfilled will facilitate your surrender, then Krishna will do that.
Ако изпълнението на вашите материални желания ще подпомогне отдаването ви, тогава Кришна ще изпълни тези желания.
And if taking away all material facility will facilitate you, then he'll do that.
Ако отнемането на всички материални удобства ще ви помогне да се отдадете на Кришна, Кришна ще направи.
So one may think, well, I'd rather be in a position where Krishna doesn't have to take away my material facility, so how can I get to that position?
Човек може да си помисли, по-добре да съм на такава позиция, че да не се налага Кришна да ми отнема всички материални удобства. Как да се издигна до тази позиция?
That's Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text 22.
В 22 стих на 9 глава на Bhagavad Gita се казва.
Ананяшчинтаянтамам ейджана прайапасате тейшам нечепидуктанам йогачемам вахам яхам. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion,
тези, които ме обожават с изключителна преданост,
meditating in my transcendental form. I personally protect whatever they have, and I personally provide whatever they're lacking.
Запазвам това, което имат и лично им доставям това, което им липсва.
But note the word exclusive devotion.
Но отбележете тук думата изключителна преданост.
In other words, if I am worshiping Krishna with mixed desires.
С други думи, ако обожавам Кришна със смесени желания,
then Krishna may take away all my facility.
Тогава Кришна може да ми вземе всичко.
Just to help me become in the mood of complete dependence on Him.
Просто за да ми помогне да стана напълно зависим от Него.
But for one who is totally dependent on Krishna, he has no other feeling of dependence on anything else, only Krishna, you see.
Човек, който напълно зависи от Кришна, той няма никакво чувство за зависимост от нещо друго.
Krishna can give him unlimited material facility.
Кришна може да му даде безкрайни материални улеснения.
Because he'll never become intoxicated by it.
Защото той никога няма да бъде опиянен от това.
You'll simply see, Krishna has very kindly given me more facility to increase my service more and more.
Той просто вижда как Кришна милостиво му дава все повече и повече средства, за да може да му служи.
So, if you It's always better to be an akama devotee than a sakama devotee. But it's better to be a sakama devotee than not to be a devotee. So, what should we do? Should we try to be akama or sakama? What do you think? Maybe akama is too much for some of us. You know, just try to be sakamas. So better to say, well, it's hopeless for me to be akama at this point. I'm too much of a neophyte. I'm just going to go ahead and be a sakama. So is it better to strive to be akama even though it's difficult? Or just to take the sakama path because it's easy?
Дали е по-добре да се стремим да бъдем акама, защото е трудно, или просто да приемем пътя на сакама, защото е по-лесно?
What's more favorable by Krishna consciousness?
Кое е по-благоприятно за моето Кришна съзнание?
Cultivate akam bhakti or sakam bhakti?
Да култивирам акама бхакти или сакама бхакти?
What do you think? What is your opinion?
Какво мислите вие?
What's more favorable for achieving?
Какво е вашето мнение?
Pure Krishna consciousness.
Кое е по-благоприятно за постигането на чисто Кришна? It's always better to strive for the highest position.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's always better to strive for the highest name. It's like if I'm studying in the university, and I'm getting ready for an exam. If I strive to make 100% on that exam, I'm more likely to pass. But I think, well, all I really need is a 70% grade, so I'm just not going to try that hard. I'm just going to strive to get a 70% grade on the exam so I can pass. Well, you may end up with a 69 grade, you see, and fail the exam. That's why it's better to always try for akama, even if it's difficult, you see. It seems impossible, akama bhakti. It's always better to strive for akama, and then you can always fall back on sakama. And come back again in a Brahmin family or something like that. So it's always better to shoot for the highest thing, you see. Just like it is sometimes said, aim for the sky and at least you'll clear the fence.
Clear the fence?
There's a fence, and you aim, but you're trying to take your airplane off, you see. So you go, you say, I'm going to go for the sky, and you just take your airplane. You think, well, I just have to make sure I clear the fence, and you just kind of fly along like this, and you know, then the battery wheel catches the fence, and you crash, you see.
Човек може да си мисли, аз важното е само да прескоча оградата и може да караш много ниско и да ти се закачи колесника, примерно, и самолета да се разбие.
Someone should always strive for the highest possible ideal, pure bhakti.
Затова човек винаги трябва да се стреми към най-високия възможен идеал, чиста бхакти.
And here is one of the insider secrets.
Сега е една от вътрешните тайни.
Since Krishna says, I fulfill those who desire money, who desire to have their distress removed, I fulfill those desires.
И Кришна, тъй като казва, той казва, че ще удовлетвори желанията на тези, които желаят освобождение от страданията или желаят богатство.
Since Krishna will fulfill those desires, do you think he would also be willing to fulfill the devotee who desires akam bhakti?
Тъй като Кришна изпълнява тези желания, мислите ли, че той няма да изпълни желанието на този, който желая акама бхакти?
Whose desires do you think he prefers to fulfill? Those who want money or those who want pure bhakti?
Чие желание мислите, че той е по-склонен да изпълни? Тези, които искат пари или тези, които искат чиста бхакти?
In other words, there's all these list of people, there's a whole group of people and they all have, I want this and who, you know, this one wants this and this one wants this. Who will he favor?
Ако имаме този списък от хора, които искат, всеки иска нещо.
Those who want some euros,
кой си мислите, че той ще удовлетвори най-напред?
And those who want pure bhakti.
Дали те, които искат евро?
The answer is obvious. Since he fulfills desires, why not desire pure bhakti?
И отговорът е очевиден. Тъй като той изпълнява желание, защо да не желаеме чиста бхакти?
Because if you desire pure bhakti, you're the first on the list in the queue.
Защото ако вие искате чиста бхакти, вие сте първи в списъка.
You're the first. He says, let me first hear from all those who want pure bhakti. We'll see about fulfilling their desire, and then later on, those who want money, those who want relief from disease, those who want this and that, we'll see about fulfilling their desires, and then later on, you see.
Кришна си мисли така, нека първо удовлетворя желанията на тези, които искат чиста бхакти, а по-нататък ще удовлетворя желанията и на останалите.
And remember, when you go for pure bhakti, then whatever else you may need to facilitate pure bhakti is there automatically.
И помнете, че ако вие искате чиста бхакти, всичко друго, което отдаете като желание, то ще бъде удовлетворено, за да може да улесни вашата чиста бхакти.
Money, reputation, good health, whatever you need.
Пари, слава, добро здраве, всичко, което имате нужда.
Airline tickets, whatever you may need.
Самолетни билети, всичко, което имате.
Prasadam. Place to sleep.
Място, където да спите.
If you strive for pure bhakti, Krishna will make sure all your material necessities are there so you can do your pure bhakti.
Ако се стремите към чиста бхакти, Кришна ще се погрижи всичките необходимости да се изпълнят.
So, to be a Sakama devotee is kind of stupid, really. Stupid.
Да бъдеш Сакама преданен е глупаво, действително.
If I go for a kama, I'll automatically get all the other things that ever I need.
Защото ако се стрема към акама, така или иначе ще получа всички други неща, които имам нужда.
So, Sakama bhakti is for those who are less intelligent.
Така че Сакама бхакти, заключението е, че е за тези, които са по-ниско интелигентни.
And Akama bhakti is for those who are highly intelligent.
А Акама бхакти е за най-интелигентните.
So I can ask now if there's any questions. Narada Muni.
I will translate his question line by line because.
Напразлика на рисинка ще изиграем едно представление, в което се разказва как Пралат Махарадж се отказва от всичко и иска време, иска чиста бхакти.
During the festival of Lord Nrisimha appearance, we will play a drama in which Pralat Maharaj he will renounce everything for pure Krishna bhakti.
И не знае, че сега Пралат Махарадж е един Хануман, е един
изобщо тези велики личности сега, ние сме слуга на слуга на слугата. Нашата чиста бахти по-малка ли ще бъде като от тяхната?
So we know that persons like Prahlad Maharaj and Hanuman, they're single examples in the history of pure devotees. So he's asking, will our bhakti will be the same as theirs? Or
what do you want? Do you desire the pure bhakti like Prahlad?
Or
do you want to be like the Christians and the Hindus who are saying, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac? Replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. What do you want? It's according to your desire. Do you want bhakti like Prahlad?
He may want it, but his power of desiring is like it's very small, very minuscule.
Well, do you desire your desire to get bigger? You say, now my desire for pure bhakti is very tiny, but at least you have something then. The spark of the desire for pure bhakti is there in your heart or not? The spark is there? You have the spark or not? A little teeny spark?
He has some madness, but he doesn't know what it is.
Some madness?
Yes.
You're mad after pure bhakti.
This he wants a chista bhakti.
If you are a madman after pure bhakti, that's very good.
He is mad for pure bhakti, but only when in moments like this, when you are here.
You think I'm not always here? What makes you think I'm not always here? I'm confused. Tell me. Why do you think I'm not always here?
Because I have to go out ashamed now. He has to go out ashamed. No.
He has to go out ashamed.
Yeah.
Why ashamed?
Защо засрамен?
Защото
Защо си мисли, че само тука е духовен?
If you chant 16 rounds and follow the principles, there's no shame.
Ако следваш принципите и мантраш 16 кръга, няма от какво да се срамуваш.
If you break the principles and don't chant the mala, yes, it is shameful.
Ако не правиш това, тогава има причина за срам.
So don't be in a shameful position. Follow these principles and chant your japa.
Затова не бъди в такава срамна позиция. Следвай принципите.
And then your spiritual master will always be there with you.
Тогава духовният ти учител винаги ще бъде с теб.
Don't be dependent on his physical presence. You have to connect with his vibrational presence. By chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds faithfully and still following the four regular principles. And then you will never feel his separation. You will always feel his presence and you will always therefore be inspired for pure bhakti.
Тогава винаги ще чувстваш неговото присъствие и винаги ще бъдеш вдъхновен за чиста бхакти.
Next question.
Други въпроси?
When you were singing that song, this is just a comment. When you were singing, or you can take as a question also. When you were singing that give me a Cadillac, so Narayani Prabhu was saying, Narayani, bye bye Narayani. So is that the way we get the pure bhakti?
Bye bye Naradi.
Ти докато пееш тази песен казваш.
Or bye sorry for Naradi.
Довиждане Naradi или казваш.
Much was it?
Или казваш ще ти купя сари Naradi.
Какво? Was it bye bye Naradi or bye sorry for Naradi? Well, which was it?
Чао чао Naradi или ще ти купя сари Naradi?
Има 20 сари да какво да правим повече.
She has already 20 saris. So what to do more?
So what were you saying? You were saying bye bye? We did not say that pure bhakti requires that you become a sannyasi. We never say you have to be a sannyasi. Simply, if you follow our principles, no illicit sex, no being no intoxication again, then. You see, it's not required to take sannyas. If one's wife is Krishna conscious, of course, if she's not Krishna conscious, it's better to take sannyas, yeah. One must take sannyas if one's wife is not Krishna conscious. And if one's wife is Krishna conscious, one can become vanaprastha, but there's no need for sannyas.
You said if someone has a material desire, a Sakama devotee or Akama devotee, and Krishna fulfills everybody's desires. But we hear also that when someone wants pure devotional service or pure devotion, then Krishna is very hesitating because he has to make sure that the devotee, it is said that pure devotional service is very rare. Very rarely achieved. So how would he fulfill the desires of the person who wants a kama bhakti?
Въпросът е, нали тук чухме, че Кришна изпълнява желанията на всички, но и дори на тези, които са акама преанодайни, но на друго място сме чували, че Кришна много рядко дава чистото преано служене на някой. Много се колебае да го даде. Така че как действително го изпълнява?
So our question is that since pure bhakti is rarely given, how can you say he gives preference to those who want pure bhakti? He must be giving preference to those who want their material desires fulfilled. That's what she's asking.
Значи въпросът всъщност е как щом Кришна дава толкова рядко чиста бхакти, как може да се каже, че той дава предпочитание на тези, които са акама преданодани? Не предпочита ли той да удовлетвори първо желанието на другите?
The answer is Bhagavad Gita 4:11. Ye yata mang prapadyante tangs the taiva bhajam yaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly.
Там Кришна казва, в каквато степен някой ми се отдаде, такава степен аз ще го възнаградя.
So those who are more surrendered, they get more reward. That's simple thing.
С други думи, тези, които са по-отдадени, те получават по-голяма награда. Много проста сметка.
Being wanting money, that's not being very surrendered.
It's
like a business deal. I'll flatter you, God, if you give me some money. So those who the most rewarded are those who approach the desire for pure bhakti. Because whatever wealth they have, that wealth is never taken away. Those who approach God simply to get their wealthy desires fulfilled, they may get wealth, but they will not keep that wealth. Because they see it as their own property instead of the property of God. But the pure devotee, he sees whatever wealth he has as the property of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna gives him more wealth, more wealth, more wealth. Just see how Prabhupada's wealth expanded like anything, from 40 rupees to millions of dollars.
Вижте само как богатството на Прабхупад експандирало от 40 рупии до милиони долари.
hundreds of, over 100 different houses. How many people have 100 different places of residence? And how many rich people have 108 places of residence?
Колко богати хора, например, имат повече от 100 жилища?
They may have two or three houses, you know, if they're really rich.
Ако наистина са богати, могат да имат две или три къщи.
Prabhupada had 108 houses.
Prabhupada има 108 къщи.
Hundreds of cars, a huge fleet, hundreds of cars, hundreds of drivers, hundreds of thousands of servants, thousands of drivers. He exceeded any rich man, you see. And that's from 40 rupees in 11 years. Less than 11 years. You see. So one who becomes in pure bhakti, he's not lacking in anything. All facilities are there for him. So why not strive for pure bhakti? This is more intelligent thing, you see. Any other questions? Anybody besides Narada Muni have questions? Yes.
He's cooperating with Rupa Manohara Prabhu in the other center on Curie, and he wants to attract a certain type of persons to come and visit the center. So he wants to make an advertisement and in order to attract them. And
what class of people?
Какви са тия група? Каква група хора са тези?
Това са ми клиенти от ресторанта.
His former clients, customers from his restaurant. He knows them, their type of mentality.
Oh, okay.
He used to have a restaurant.
So he was at the restaurant I visited? That was his restaurant?
Yes, yes. So he needs like something like 1,000 euro, and he's praying to Krishna to provide it.
Is well, why don't you go out and work, get a job, do some work to earn some. Either go out and sell books and raise the money, or go out and get a job. Raise 1,000 euro.
Примерно да разпространяваш книги и да изкараш тези 1,000 евро. По такъв начин, като си намериш работа.
Or if you know some rich people, you can preach to them and ask them to donate 1,000 euros. Get 10 people to donate 100 euros each. There's different things. You can go out, you can do some business. Some devotees, like there's a devotee in the U.S., he built a temple. He built a huge, beautiful Vedic temple just from his own business.
Както един правилно даден в Штатите, само от своя собствен бизнес построи огромен красив храм.
A very dedicated preacher, but he knew that preaching needs money. He was grihastha, so he started some business. There's a type of animal called yama. Do you know those yamas? It's a type of animal called a yama. He started a yama business, selling yamas. And he makes thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars selling yamas. And he built a huge, beautiful Vedic temple in Utah. Just from his own business income.
Този правилно даден започнал бизнес с продал някакви животни и спечелил много пари.
And they attract tens of thousands of people to come and chant Hare Krishna. It's amazing.
Това е в Юта и той привлича.
He did that by his business, his grihastha business.
Десетки хиляди хора там. Това само от неговия бизнес.
So some devotees start some business and make big money, and then they use that money for preaching.
Някои правилно дани започват бизнес и изкарват големи пари и използват тези пари за проповядване.
Some devotees who are not inclined to do business, who are more inclined to preach, they go out and they preach to people and they can convince them to give donations. And some people who are not expert, they just go out and get a job and work and make the money by working the job.
Докато други, които не са толкова опитни в проповядването, започват бизнес и изкарват пари от тази работа.
You just have to be very industrious and see, well, what can I do? What's the most practical way for me to get the money according to my abilities and talent?
Просто трябва да видиш според твоите възможности и способности, да видиш кой е най-практичен.
And work hard to get it.
Да изкараш парите и да работиш усилено, за да
ги. And Krishna will give it to you.
Да ги получиш и Кришна ще ти ги даде.
But he wants to see that we're going to do some service, not that we just sit and wait for him to deliver the, the cashier's check at the door.
Но не е така, че ние просто трябва да стоим и да чакаме Кришна да ни изпрати.
Everyone has to work for their livelihood.
Всички трябва да работят за своите.
You can work as a Brahmin by preaching. You can work as a Kshatriya by administration. You can work as a Vaishya by doing business. Or you can work as a Shudra by getting a job. But everybody has to work in one of in any according to four different natures: Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra.
Но всички трябва да работят в зависимост от техните различни природи.
So you work hard either in any capacity, as a preacher, as a businessman, as a worker. You work hard and get that money. €1,000 is nothing. There's millions of euros changing hands at every minute in Europe right now. Millions of euros. Srila Prabhupada said, the money is just flying through the air, all you have to do is grab it. There's millions of euros flying through the air every minute in this continent. There's so many business transactions are going on constantly. You just got to reach in there and grab it.
Този континент просто в момента милиони евро летят във въздуха и просто трябва да ги.
Neither is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. You just have to reach in there and get some of that money for Krishna.
По един от тези начини, като Brahman, Vaishya, Kshatriya или Shudra, трябва да просто да ги вземеш и да ги използваш за Кришна.
Some devotees go out, they take books and they go out and distribute books.
Някои преводачи взимат книги и отиват да ги разпространяват.
You have to see whatever you can do and get that €1,000.
Затова ти трябва да видиш какво можеш ти да направиш, за да получиш тези 1000 евро.
И сега какво материално живот?
Не.
So his initial question was, is this a material desire?
Oh, no, it's not material desire. For Krishna, we can desire millions of euros.
Не, за Кришна може да желаем милиони евро. Не е материално желание.
Когато съм поблесил, изми да разпитам се, което няма в и също като един част на седмица, опитвам да разпространявам книги. Това, че съм сама, обаче, някакъв начин ме притеснява, когато съм сама. Защото не съм достатъчно подготвена.
Когато си сама на улицата,
да. Какво мога да направя, освен да чета един от друго, за да подобря излизането на Санкиртан? Okay. София, по принцип, е по-лесно и в друг град ми е много по-лесно, отколкото в Бургас, тъй като е малък град и виждам постоянно познати хора, които подарявам книгите. Но знам, че аз нямам възможност да подарявам на всички книги. Какво е направо? Съвет?
When she's in Burgas, she's trying to distribute books for maybe 1 hour a week. When she goes out, it's difficult for her because she's alone, and the city is not a big city, so she has many persons are familiar to her, so they know her, and she even gives them the books away, without asking for donation. So she's.
That's not very good.
Това не е добре, че даваш книгите без.
Free books, they won't take it very seriously. If they give money for the book, then they'll think, well, I have to get my money's worth, I better read it. But free book means they probably won't read it. Unless someone is dying to read the book and they just don't have the money, that's maybe another thing. But I wouldn't waste books on people who don't have money unless they beg for it very strongly.
They
probably never read them.
Моят въпрос е как да подобря санкиртана. И сега ми следва още един въпрос. Много давна си мечтая в България да има Food for Life. Също съм много привлечена в кришните съзнание заради мисия на Food for Life, заради санкиртана. Възможно ли е в Бургас или в страната по някакъв начин да се кооперират така бактите, че да се развие санкиртана, да се развие тази организация, която преди е съществувала де-факто в България? Може ли да се обучим тук в България на санкиртана и на качеството на санкиртана?
She is very attracted to Food for Life mission and Sankirtan also. So she's asking if it is possible in Bulgaria to devotees from different cities to cooperate and push forward this mission of Food for Life distribution, and if it's possible.
Sure.
Разбира се, че е възможно.
It's certainly possible.
Напълно е възможно.
It's up to the local leaders.
Зависи от местните лидери.
Isn't it also depends on how much we cooperate with the devotees?
Трябва и ние да се кооперираме спрямо отдадените. От това зависи също.
Cooperation is a two-way street.
Кооперирането е двупосочна улица.
There was a devotee, he visited the Atlanta temple. He came from New York and he was visiting the Atlanta temple. And he said, I'm getting zero cooperation here. His idea was, well, cooperation means they have to do what I want. That's cooperation. Cooperation goes two ways. That I do what you want and then you do what I want.
Аз правя това, което ти искаш, и след това ти правиш това, което аз искам.
We have to work together as a team. That's cooperation. Not that you do it my way. Why are you not cooperating with me?
Трябва да работим като отбор, а не понеже ти не правиш нещата както аз ги искам и затова не се кооперираш с мен.
Sometimes it happens with the new devotees. Sometimes it happens that the new bhakt and new open devotees think that everybody should cooperate with me and I want, because I like to do this. So in the beginning, shouldn't it be that the new open devotee cooperates so that the authorities become pleased and then they can facilitate us?
The juniors should find out how they can best serve the seniors, that's the proper move.
Правилното настроение за начинаещите преподавани, които са младши, е да се кооперират с старшите преподавани по начин.
If we're going to work together as a family, that means the younger devotees should try to work under the guidance of the older devotees. Otherwise, everybody can just be their own independent program. But if we want to be a family, we have to see those who are superiors and work under their direction.
Ако искаме да действаме като едно семейство, младшите преподавани трябва да се съобразяват, да се кооперират с старшите преподавани, а не всеки да си върши независимо неща.
Any other question?
Други въпроси?
Един въпрос, който мисля по-скоро хора, които са като брат ми, които живеят в малки градчета или отдалечени части на страната и дори по съвсем други места, например в Истанбул, където, понеже стана въпрос вчера за това, че ако ние изглеждаме странно в очите на другите, това помага нашето погребване. Тоест, ако ходим с Доти и Тилаев към Тамала, но на такива места на хората не само, че не приемат всеки, който изглежда странен, те дори си позволяват да упражняват насилие върху тези хора, да не говорим, че те не могат да си мерят работа. И заради това, че са странни на такива места, как е най-адекватно да се проповядат?
She's asking for for people in who are living in small places, like small towns, and even in like her brother, he's living in a small city, and even in a different country, like Turkey, for example. Той прямо дай ли е, брат?
Да, той отскоро се присъедини към бактите, например.
He recently joined.
Но да кажем, съм помолил да си крия кантамалата, когато ходи на работа, защото това може да му донесе някакви проблеми.
Okay. You said that we should be strange, you know, in the eyes of the others.
We shouldn't be, not that we should try to be strange. We are strange to them.
Не така, че ние трябва да се опитваме да бъдем странни, ние сме странни за тях.
No, we should try to act in such a way that they feel comfortable with us. That's the point.
Ние трябва да действаме по такъв начин, че те да се чувстват добре с...
It's not that we should try to blow their minds by acting in a weird way or something like that.
Не така, че ние трябва да се опитваме да се държиме странно с тях и напълно да ги изумиме.
They will naturally find this to be a strange thing, to chant the names of God, to rise early in the morning. They will naturally find that to be strange.
По естествен начин те ще смятат това за странно, че ставаме рано сутрин и възпяваме имената на Бога.
But we should be so friendly and so compassionate that they don't, that it overrules any negative feelings they may have about our different lifestyle.
Че ние трябва да сме толкова приятелски настроени и състрадателни към тях, че това да всички други впечатления странни от нашия начин на живот да нямат значение за тях.
In other words, we should behave in such a way that they think that we're really cool, you know?
Тоест, ние трябва да се държиме по такъв начин, че те наистина си мислят, че ние сме страхотни.
Hare Krishna is really cool. It rocks the whole universe.
И да си кажа, че Hare Krishna наистина е супер. Просто разтриса цялата вселена.
That's how we should present ourselves. Even though we are different. The Beatles were quite different. They never ever thought they were really cool, you see.
С други думи, ние трябва да сме различни. Например, както Битлсите, те бяха различни и хората ги смятат.
They were very different. Their hair was longer than everybody else, you know. They were quite different.
Те бяха много различни. Косите им бяха по дълги от на всички.
But they people thought, well, they're more cool than anybody else, the Beatles, you know.
И те си мислиха, че Битлсите са по
супер. So even though we're different, we should present ourselves with so much enthusiasm that they think that we're the coolest people in the whole world.
И въпреки че ние сме различни, ние толкова ентусиазирано трябва да представяме себе си, че те да си мислят, че сме най-готините хора в целия свят.
Prabhupada gave an example in this connection. And he was a boy, he used to watch the Charlie Chaplin movies.
Когато бил момче, той гледал филмите на Чарли Чаплин.
So there was one ballroom dance. They wear the formal tuxedos and the flowing gowns, you know, ballroom dance.
Имало една сцена в една бална зала, където всеки облечен.
And some little children, they wanted to play a joke, you see.
И някакви малки деца искали да се пошегуват с него.
They put some glue on the bench.
И му сложили лепило на скамейката.
So Charlie and his date, they sat down on the bench.
И Чарли и неговата приятелка седнали на.
And when Charlie got up, it rips this tail. He had one of these long-tailed tuxedos, you know, with long tails.
И когато Charlie се опитал да стане,
when he got up, his tuxedo ripped.
То дрехата му отзад, която била удължена, е така се разкъсала просто.
And that'd be in the old days at a formal ball dance to have a ripped tuxedo. That'd be pretty embarrassing, you know. You'd have to go hide somewhere, right?
И това, ако ти се случи в тия дни, да ти се скъса фрака, ти направо ще се почувстваш за срам и ще отидеш.
But Charlie was not one to be embarrassed.
Charlie не искал да бъде.
So he went into the men's room, you see.
And he took that rip and he ripped it all the way up to the top. Rip. All the way, way up, almost to the top. You see. And then he took his date and they went out in the middle and he danced with great enthusiasm, dancing this way and dancing like nobody ever danced, you know. And the people were amazed. Who is this person dancing with such exuberance? They all stopped, the whole room just stopped, and everybody was just looking at Charlie Chaplin and his date, dancing, you see. So all the men, they all took their tuxedos and ripped them. And they all started dancing with great enthusiasm. So we're different. We're like the, we have like ripped tuxedo, you know. So instead of starting to hide our difference, we should show that we're more enthusiastic, more happy, more blissful, more friendly. We have better qualities than anybody on this planet. Then everybody will want to join the kirtan with great enthusiasm. These Hare Krishnas, they're maybe different, but they're really cool. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They'll all want to join the kirtan. So anyway, we've gone a couple of minutes over time. And so we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.